Okay. Good. So that worked. All right, let's see. We've got 1 minute to go. I'm going to turn off this music that's playing. All right, cool. Let's see. So good morning, everybody. Now, I've got everybody on mute. So if you want to unmute yourself, you want to ask me a question, you're going to hit, I believe it's star six. Hang on a second. Yeah, star six. And I think it takes a minute to unmute yourself. And let's do a test while we're, because this is, we still have a minute left. Could somebody hit star six on their keypad one time and say hi to me? Somebody do that?
Done.
Anybody?
Done.
Who's that?
Bill Tavernese.
Hey,
hello,
Bill. Thank you.
Harry from Denver.
So, hey, how you doing? All right, very good. So obviously this is working very good. You guys can hit star six again. That'll put you back on mute. I just want to make sure that worked. Thank you so much for helping me out. That was very great of you. All right, super. So a ton of people are calling in now. So let's get this party started because it's right at 11 o'clock. So welcome, everybody. I want to welcome the new power agents. We've got some new power agents on the call. This is their first time. So let me just take the first 2 minutes to go through, you know, what the purpose of this call is and some other technical things. First of all, from a technical standpoint, we just switched over to this new webinar company or teleconferencing company. This is our second time using it. So we're dealing with glitches. It's for those of you that are actually seeing me on your computer, I'm looking at a different camera. I can't see, I have two cameras attached to the computer. Of course, it picked the wrong one. But you can still see me. And so what we're going to do during this call, the purpose of this call every month is three things. Number one is to, you know, give you personal coaching. So this is your opportunity to ask me anything that you need that you're struggling with to help your business. So I highly encourage you. I'm always shocked that there's so many people that are like voyeurs. They rather just listen. But you know, it's better to participate. You know, the analogy I like to use is, you know, if you go to a football game or any kind of sport, you got people sitting in the bleachers watching what's happening on the field, and then you got people on the field. So I want you to be on the field with me, not just sit in the bleachers watching, all right? And how you do that is ask me some questions. So that's the first thing. Second thing is to go over the magazine that's on the Power Program website. You know, every month, myself, my office, we go through putting together something that's going to help you. This magazine is so big every month. There's so many pages in it. You can't possibly implement everything that's in the magazine. But if you implement one or two things, that's a good thing. You know, if you think of this concept, every month, if you just improve your business by 10%, improve your skill by 10%, improve what you do by 10%. That's 120% a year. And that's how you have breakthroughs. You know, usually what we do is we get very frustrated. You know, we want to get, you know, we want everything to work now, right? We want to have more money now. We want to have happiness now. We want to have, we want to have less weight now. And, you know, if we use that diet as an example, which this is something I've been struggling with personally. But, you know, if you commit to it and you commit to getting healthier or you commit to losing weight, you're not going to do it right away. You know, it takes time. But if every day you're making the right choices, doing the right activities, eventually you'll see the results. And that's true in our business too. You have to be patient. You know, I'm going to tell you something. One of the things I know will hurt you and I know frustrates you is when you are looking at where you are in your life, where you're looking in your business right now, and you see where you want to be, and you focus on the gap. You know, it's like where you are now, where you want to be is so far apart sometimes. And it's easy to beat yourself up and get frustrated. You know, and gang, I'm going to tell you, it's real important that you be patient with yourself, because if you beat yourself up, you're going to obviously stop doing the activities that you need to do to get to the next level in your career and in your personal life. You know, if you look at what a farmer does, if a farmer, you know, plants the seeds to grow his crops, he's not going to get ticked off or frustrated or upset that it didn't sprout anything the next day. He knows that it takes time. And during that time, he needs to support that growth. He's got to fertilize the farm. He's got to water it. He's got to nurture it. He's got to do certain activities to get that result that he wants. And that's true about us as human beings, regardless of what you're working on, whether it's you personally, your attitude, your relationships, and, of course, your business. So anyway, that's a little extra thing. I hope that helped you. All right, so we've got this magazine. Every month we're going to go over it, and I want to give you some other ideas on how to improve your business. So that's the purpose of this call. Anyway, here's what we got. couple other things. Facebook group. We've got this Facebook group. It's facebook.com/groups and /PowerAgent. Power Agents of Real Estate, I think if you search Facebook that way. Now, let me just say something about this group. This is an opportunity for you guys to use the group and brainstorm and share ideas. So I'm trying to periodically, when I'm on the road or something, I'll throw something in the Facebook group. Maybe it's a website, maybe it's a company, whatever it might be, motivational quote. But I really want you guys to use the group, too, to brainstorm. And we've only launched a Facebook group recently, and it's going to take some time for more and more people to participate. So anyway, that's the Facebook group. One other thing before I really get into the call here with you is that on the Power Program website, there is a flyer under Classroom that it says, "Why to List During the Holidays." So if you haven't logged into the Power Program website yet, make sure you do that, thepowerprogram.com. And under the word Classroom, Visuals, then you go to Visuals for Sellers, and you're going to see there's two different versions of why you should list during the holidays. All right? So that's there for you. All right, now, let me get, before I get into the magazine, I want to tell you every month we interview a top agent. And the agent that we interviewed this month is Trish Pierce. She's from Braintree, Massachusetts. And she's done an incredible job of building her business, top listing agent, consistently a multi-million-dollar producer. She generated buyer leads and seller leads through cold calling, calling FSBOs, real estate seminars, networking. So anyway, I had the honor of interviewing her. So this month, that's our special Power Agent of the Month. Make sure you listen to that recording. It's also on the Power website, and we transcribe the interview, and it's in the magazine. All right, now, actually, before I get into the magazine, I want to open up the call to any questions that you have. So we're going to jump into that right now. And by the way,
Carol, excuse me, yes. Carol. The yes. Magazine does not open.
All right,
it goes.
Great.
It opens to a sign-up sheet for your company. It does not open like it normally does.
Yeah, if it's doing that, it's probably because you're not logged in yet. Well, let me just double
yes,
check.
Yes, I am logged in.
Huh. All right. Oh, yeah, I see that. There's an error there. Okay. Wow. Okay, so let me do this. Thank you. Just give me a second here, gang. I'm going to fix that really quick. So give me one second. I'm going to just text the person who's in charge of the magazine is not loading. Okay. Do ASAP on call now. Okay, great. All right. Who said that? Who was that wonderful person?
Janet in Atlanta.
Janet, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. All right. So I see some people, they say they can't see me on the computer screen. And so let me just see something here because I think it should be working. So let me just try that again, and I may have just disconnected it. Oh, there we go. So I can see me, so I don't know if anybody else can. So don't worry about it. I don't want to spend any more time on the technical stuff, although thanks for telling me about the magazine. From what I can see, it looks like the computer screen should be working. If not, we'll deal with it next month. Let's continue on the call because we just have an hour. Thanks, gang, for the chatting. Harry Greer, thanks for that, and I appreciate it. And Kay, you too. I will ask this. Can anybody see me on the screen right now that's logged into the website? Is anybody – not on the Power Program. You have to log in a certain way through the link. Does anybody see it?
Trying to download it but can't get it to open.
All right. All right. So this is – technology is great when it works. Yes, I can see you. Yes, I can see you, Brad. Okay. So let me just cover this, and we're going to move on off this technical thing. Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Elsie. Caroline. Okay. So people can see me. If you can't see me, it's because you're probably on the wrong website. there is a link to the in the email that you have to go to in order to see me. It's not going to be on the Power Program website specifically. It's a separate website. So, but maybe that's something we should look at doing, adding it on the Power Program website. All right, gang, thanks for being so patient as we go through this. All right, now let's continue with the reason why we're all here on the call. Does anybody have any questions, something that you're working on? Now, Kay Stokes, you had emailed me. Kay, I don't know if you're on the call, and I want to remind everybody how you can unmute yourself, because right now everybody's muted, is hit *6 one time, and that will take you off mute. So, Kay, if you're on the call, could you hit *6 so I can chat with you? And if Kay's not on the call, I'm going to still answer her question, and then I'm going to open it up to the rest of everybody on the call. Okay.
I'm on the call.
Who's this, Kay?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for your email ahead of time. I appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm great, Kay. Thank you. So, Kay, tell me what is the – ask the question again. I got the email in front of me, but let me hear your own words.
Well, it's just staying focused and motivated. That's one of my concerns. We're retired, so we probably just want to put like in 20 hours a week. And the
okay.
Other thing is, and the other thing is my handling objections with the client.
And when you say handling objections, I'm assuming you're talking about the listing appointment, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so first of all, do you have specific objections you're thinking about that you're getting?
Well, I'll ask my – do you have any – my husband's with me too, Steve. We work as a team.
Yeah, say tell Steve I said hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Steve. All right, well, listen, Steve, think about that question. Hang on one second. Let me handle the first question, and then I'm going to go – I want you to think of specific objections you might be getting. So we'll go to that second. The first one about staying motivated and stuff. So, by the way, gang, whenever somebody asks me a question, I'm going to expand on it so that way everybody should get value. Like if you don't have a specific concern about staying focused or motivated, I'll still expand it. For example, Kay, you just said that you and your husband are retired. You're doing about 20 hours a week. So I want to speak specifically not just to being retired, but what does an agent do when they're part-time, they've only got 20 hours a week? You know, we make money in two areas. That's working with buyers and working with sellers. And if you're only putting in 20 hours a week for whatever reason, it's really ineffective to try and do both and make a living. The best thing to do when you only have 20 hours a week is to focus on just getting listings and that's it. I wouldn't even work with buyers because if you only have 20 hours and you spend, I'm picking numbers out. Let's say you spend 10 hours showing property. Well, that's 10 hours that you could double your efforts in building inventory. And the good thing about having listing inventory is that the other hours you're not working, other agents are working for you to sell your inventory. So in a sense, they become almost like subcontractors of you or employees of you because they're working your listings as far as showing. So my first advice, Kay, is that you need to just work listings and focus on the concept of listing inventory.
Okay.
All right, that's the first thing. So and that's exciting because, you know, let me tell you something. One of the good things about, listen, I only have 20 hours a week. Good, let's keep it simple. just do everything and anything to get listing appointments and build listing inventory, and that's it. All right.
Okay. So I just want to say one thing. When I say 20 hours, that's kind of a rough thing, because when we get our listings, we work way over 20 hours.
I gotcha.
I don't want to, I shouldn't say I don't want to be a full-time, but the last few listings we had, I would say we were pretty full-time on it.
All right. Well, yeah, and let me just say this, what you just said, Kay, about almost, and I don't want this to sound wrong, you seem like you almost became a little defensive about I don't want people to think that we're not working hard or 20 hours. There's nothing wrong with putting in 20 hours or 30, or like not having this be a full-time thing. That's totally okay. As a matter of fact, I think it's wonderful that if you and your husband have gotten to this point in your life where you don't have to work 60 hours, 100 hours a week in real estate. So anyway, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I know some agents that they put in 20, 30 hours a week, and they're producing financially what some agents are putting in 60, 70 hours a week. You know what? Here's an interesting thing, and I'm going to expand on this a little bit. There's a concept called the 80-20 principle. Now, 80% of the business is done by 20% of the people, but that principle actually goes back to the 18th century. It was by an Italian economic gentleman by the name of Pareto, and it was called the Pareto principle. And what he discovered is that wealth, success, et cetera, was unbalanced. And that's where the original 80-20 rule came from. Now, it goes on that when you think about this, most of us are very productive when we have to go on vacation. And the reason why we're really productive when we have to go on vacation is because if you have a limited amount of time between now and when you're going to go on vacation, what we wind up doing is actually focusing our activities on the high-priority activities. You know that expression, you know, you want to get something done, give it to a busy person. The reason why that expression is true, the 80-20 principle says that 20% of the work you do actually generates 80% of your revenue. And when you are boxed in, meaning you've got a lot of obligations, some of the most successful agents I've met are single mothers. And almost the more children they have, the more successful they are. Why? Because if they have their backs are up against the wall, they have so much pressure, so many things to do in their personal life. When they go to real estate, they don't have time to dilly-dally. Some of us, our problem is that we act as if we have this infinite amount of hours in a week. And therefore, we start doing low-priority activities. We drag things out. So my point here is, when you commit to a limited amount of hours, you'll find yourself more productive. Now, for those of you that do have 60 hours a week to work or 50 hours a week to work, keep this in mind. When you go into the office, the thing that will hold you accountable and make you more productive is if you have a good schedule, a tight schedule, and you schedule personal time with your family, with yourself, so that way you're not going to drag out your hours when you work in the office. Anyway, so okay, going back to what you were asking. Number one is build inventory, don't work with buyers. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Second suggestion that I have is get clear about what is it that you and your husband want to do for retirement. You know, how is your finances, how is your money set up? Do you have investment properties? So in other words, you know, you want to be able to stay focused and stay motivated. Well, the thing that will have you stay focused, stay motivated, is when you're working towards something that's important to you. You know, I was reading this book about, you know, the concept of waking up in the morning and being productive. There's that expression, when you snooze, you lose. Well, when we're laying in bed, the alarm goes off. If we snooze the alarm, it's almost like we're saying, I'd rather sleep than get up and participate in my life that day. And when we are in that place, it's because we're not waking up into something that motivates us. So when you have something that you're passionate about, something you care about, something you're on a mission with, you'll wake up earlier, you'll wake up more enthused, you'll wake up more excited about your life that you're going to face that day. A lot of us wake up into, you know, I've got to take care of my business, and I've got to pay some bills, and I've got to take care of the house, and I've got the kids. In other words, we're drained and exhausted before we get out of bed because we don't have something that we're excited about. So I would ask you and your husband to look at, by the way, do you guys have grandchildren?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Congratulations. You know, so usually I find that grandchildren are great motivators for grandparents. Fortunately, I'm not, somebody said they can't hear me. I'm not sure why that is. Somebody just, you all can hear me, right? Well, I know you can hear me, Kay. All right, somebody said they can't hear me. I'm not sure why. But going back to what I was saying is when we have our grandchildren, even though I don't have any, from what I understand about grandparents, they love grandkids. And they're very excited, very passionate about the grandkids. So maybe there's something you can do, too, as far as the success that you have in your work, that you give some kind of savings account for the grandkids so financially they're more secure when they get older, et cetera. The third or fourth thing is actually schedule your time as to when you're going to prospect, when you're going to generate listing appointments. The fifth thing is the concept of, have you guys heard me talk about the shoe store and the analogy of having inventory? Okay. So I would get a graph that tracks your current inventory. Now, if I asked you, Kay, how many listings do you have right now, what would that number be?
We don't have any listings right now, Daryl.
All right. Well, that's easy math. All right. So, okay, so the fact that you know it's zero, I would still create a graph like I did in my seminar showing tracking how many current listings you have. Obviously, now it would be zero. But the thing about having the graph is it'll slap you in the face, and that's part of that motivation piece that you asked me about, that if you look at that chart, you see zero, and next month it's zero, and next month you're going to draw a line. It's going to look like a bad EKG reading, which is telling you your business is dead. So having the graph, even when it's bad, is actually a good thing. So, all right, that's what we got there. Now, did any of that help you, by the way?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. So let's go on to the next thing, which is the objections that you get. So tell me the objections that you're getting right now. Let me just see here. Give me an example of an objection that you have, and we'll cover that.
The one of the big objections is most of our clients seem to think that their house is worth much more than what it actually is.
Okay, well, I've never heard that before, Steve.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay. So, all right, when you when people say that they think their house is more than what you think it is, there's an actual problem that needs to be solved before you can even solve that one. And that is, if you try and show a homeowner, all right, your house, let's just use numbers as an example. Let's say you've got the SPISBO, and they're asking $500,000, and you would want to list the property at $500,000 minus, they would net now is $500,000 minus your commission. So right there, they're going to say, well, why would I do that? Because I could sell it for $500 and not pay the commission. So the problem here is that they think they could sell the house at the same price that a realtor can. Are you with me, Steve?
Yes.
So what you need to what needs to happen, a good part of the listing conversation with a for sale by owner is more about them understanding that there's two prices on a home. There is for sale by owner price, and then there is the realtor price. And the realtor price will always be better than the FSBO price. The FSBO price will always be less. And that's what they have to get and understand. And that's the real problem that you have when they think their house is worth more. Now, there's a couple examples. So, if you look at Kelly Blue Book, and this is the analogy I've done before, and I love this one, is if you were to buy a car, there's two prices on that car. There's the dealership price, and then there's the person selling the price themselves. Always, the dealership price is going to be higher for the same exact car than the private price is going to be.
Correct.
The same is true with Craigslist. The same is true with just about anything when people are trying to sell something themselves. So what you need to do, the challenge you're having, Steve, is if they think their house is worth more, they first have to buy into, they have to work with a realtor, period, that if they want to sell the house and net the most money, doing it through a realtor is going to be better for them. Once they understand that, then you show them, all right, let's look at the price and what your house is worth. Then you can show them the comps that are based on realtor prices, realtor sales, and et cetera. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Whenever price or commission is an issue, gang, that happened long before you actually taught price and commission. It's everything in that listing appointment up to that point. So my listing appointments were about 2 hours, and that included previewing the house, touring the house, going through the whole thing. So when I would sit down with them and I started asking them, what are you committed to, where do you want to move to, why there, when do you need to get there, by, and once they've answered all those questions, I'd say, all right, if I can help you get to Florida with the money you need to make the move a success, is that something you'd be interested in? All right, let me share something about myself. And then I would talk about my credentials. Then I would talk about my companies. And then I'm going to talk about what realtors do for homeowners and explain to them, listen, you need to, in every business, whenever you try and do it yourself, you're going to lose in the long run. If you were going to go to court and somebody was suing you and you represent yourself, there's a good chance that you're probably it's going to cost you more money than if you pay for a professional who knows how to do it. Okay. Is there any other questions or objections you get, Steve, or is that good?
That's the main one that I can think of right now. Sometimes the commission rate is in question, but most of the time we can get around that.
Okay. Yeah, if you can, the next part is once they buy into you as a realtor, then you want to, then you can explain the commission piece and what you charge and how paying a higher fee is actually better to a homeowner than if they paid less. I used to show a homeowner that, if these agents were going to show the property, see, what we need to do is promote the house to other agents and get them excited about your property. Now, if there were two properties for sale, one's at, and the numbers I used to do was 6 and 7. So if you had one house that was at 6% and another one was 7, which would you try and sell if you were an agent? And the homeowner would say, I'll try and sell the 7%. Yeah, say, well, so to me, and I used to say this, Steve, I'd almost rather see us raise the list price by 1% just so we can have that 7% versus the 6. You'll actually get more activity, which means the house will sell more. My homeowners who actually pay out 7%, they actually wind up netting more money than the ones that are at 6 or even 5. So, all right? All right, good stuff. Let me open up the call now to somebody else. So I'm going to ask you, Kay and Steve, if you hit *6 again, that's going to put you guys back on mute. And thank you, and I appreciate it. All right, who has a question? Hit *6 on your keypad one time, and then I'll be able to hear you. *6 one time, and then you can ask me a question.
Oh, Dale, this is Walter. I have a question.
Yes, Walter. Walter, where are you from, by the way?
Lombok Key, Florida.
All right, Walter. Awesome. How's the weather down there?
Well, today it's overcast, but I'm afraid it's only going to be about 78, 79 degrees.
Okay, so Walter, all of us in the Northeast, we hate you right now.
Well, that's understandable, but it does give you something to look forward to.
All right, love it. All right, buddy, go ahead. What's your question?
I develop, work with, and market new construction, high-end primary and second homes on Longboat. First of the year, I'm planning to start farming on Longboat for high-end listings and inventory. having worked and sold only new spec homes on Longboat, how would you respond to owners and sellers of existing properties when they ask, what have you sold?
So let's talk about a couple of things. So this is a great question, because there is any agent who is not has not produced a lot of sales in general, they get their concern, how do you handle the question, well, how many listings have you sold, or how successful are you, or how long have you been in real estate? There's a couple of ways around this, Walter. First of all, how long have you been in real estate?
A good while, but I'm in new construction and development.
Well, here's the thing, all right, and your concern is, so you're in new construction and development. I'm just taking some notes here.
Yeah.
And your question is, when you talk to a, correct me if I'm wrong, a high-end listing that's a resale, and how to address that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's several, there's so many different ways that you can handle this, okay? First of all, focus on your strengths. Walter, you can't create strengths that don't exist, right? But there are strengths that you – all right. So there's a way to tweak your strengths. So, for example, if you've been in real estate for umpty-ump years and you've done a lot of new construction and development, here's the strength that I say you have, is that you have a unique perspective on real estate than any other agent in the marketplace. And the reason why is because most agents that are focused on reselling homes that have been already built, that have been owned already, or second time or third time home, you've actually seen from the very beginning what it takes, the behind the scenes of developing and building property. And because of that, you have a different perspective on homes and real estate than the average agent. Does that make sense?
It does.
So I would use that as your strength. That's number one. Number two is I would focus more on your listing conversation on how many properties you have listed and sold. So as long as the numbers are there, I don't think the fact that it's new construction versus resale is going to hurt you. If you've been listing property and you've been selling property, that's good. If you're having successful numbers, that's good. Here's another option. Does your office do resale listings?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that I've taught agents to do, which is really helpful, is that let's say, this is for everybody on the call, and let's say there's a development you're trying to break into, or you're not a big listing agent and you don't have a lot of track record. What you would do is ask other agents in the office if you can do an open house on one of their listings. You know, you tell them you're trying to break into the air, or, you know, you don't have a lot of business or you want to get some buyers, et cetera. Now, let's say you take this one listing and it's a resale listing, or it's in a subdivision that you want to get into. Now, you create a flyer. You create an ad. You have your open house. You have a date. You put it on Facebook. You do maybe even a video tour to promote that you're doing this public open house. You post that video on Facebook. In other words, you take this one house and you promote the heck out of it, promoting your open house. Now, what happens, Walter, right, is that you go on a listing appointment and you show a homeowner, let me give you an idea of the type of marketing and promotion that I do. And you show them all of this that you did on this one listing. Now, if you do this two or three times and you show, all right, here's another listing here that I did this way and I did that way. If you're not telling them it's your listing, but you're showing them all the hard work, they're going to assume that it's your listing. Does that make sense?
Right, right.
So that's another way to get around the perception about you try to break into that market, okay?
Gotcha. Good.
Yeah. What's that? What did you say, Walter? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
That was good stuff, Daryl.
All right, you're welcome, sir. Thank you. All right, so if you put yourself back on mute, *6, and then everybody else, if let me just see, anybody else have a question or comment? You need some coaching on something?
Yes, I do.
All right, great. Let me do this. Let me try and mute everybody because hang on 1 second. Whoever's talking right now, I'm going to put you back on mute. I'm going to give me 1 second here.
Broken water meters, flooded room.
All right, so we had some background noise because there were some extra people that didn't mute themselves. So let me do it again. Who has a question? Hit star 6 one time, and that will take you off mute. It was a gentleman that was just, I should ask his name. Hit star 6 one time, and that will take you off mute.
I'm off mute.
Wait. Oh, there you are. I can hear you. Who is it?
This is Wayne.
Who is it?
Wayne Johnson Shaw.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes.
All right, because I can barely hear you, so it'd probably be good to be off the speakerphone. Okay, give me your name one more time.
Wayne Johnson Charlotte.
Wayne, okay, Wayne, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man.
Where are you from, and what's your question?
I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. My question, you sort of touched on a little while ago, but I didn't quite unfollow you. About when you're doing a festival and you know the property's not at the market price, the seller wants to, you know, maybe $30,000 more than you think it's worth after you've done the work. And they insisted on what they can get without using a realtor. And I used to explain it to the other person, but I was kind of trying to follow you. But how can you do it when you looked at the property with the comps and plus with the work that the property needs? You don't see the numbers without sort of insulting the seller? I guess that's my question.
Well, yeah, so... Before you present the price, it's Wayne, correct?
That's correct.
All right, Wayne. They have to understand that a realtor is not the same as a FSBO. So if they buy into realtors and the prices that we sell things at, when you hit them with the number, it'll be less painful. So they first have to understand that realtors generate higher price than FSBOs. And there's so many different ways to do that. You know, for example, you know, let's say you've got if you were going to pay rent in a store, you can either go get a mom and pop store location or you can be in a mall. Now, if you were in a mall, everybody knows that the rent for a space in a mall is much greater than if it was a freestanding building. And the reason why it's more in the mall is because other businesses promote the business of that store. So, for example, if let's say you have a shoe store and you're in a mall, or let's say you're not in a mall, you're out, you've got a freestanding building, the only customers you're going to get are people who are looking to buy a shoe. Now, if you were in a mall, you're going to get the same people, but you also might get some people that they're looking to buy a dress. So they go to the mall to buy a dress, and after they buy the dress, that woman says, you know what, maybe I need a new pair of shoes to go with the dress. So now that dress store actually generated more buyers for the shoe store by being in the mall. Are you with me, Wayne?
I'm following you on that.
Yeah, and that's the power of listing with a realtor. The reason why realtors sell for more than FSBOs is because we have different listings, different price ranges, different style homes. We get all these different buyers that maybe are looking for this brand dress or this shoe, and if it doesn't work for them, we have more for them to choose from. A homeowner who's selling their own home is like a shoe store on the corner by themselves, and here's the kicker, they're only selling one pair of shoe.
Right.
So you want to be in a mall versus being out there by yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So that's why realtors sell houses for more versus the for sale by owner. The other thing is for sale by owners, they attract different types of buyers. See, a homeowner who's usually trying to sell it on their own and spend money and do showings, I mean, it's work to sell your house. If it didn't take work, you wouldn't have to be licensed by the state to help other people do it. Which that right there is something to think about, Mr. Mishana. The fact that somebody has to be licensed to help other people do it, you've got to ask yourself, well, why do they have to be licensed? How many hours does it take? Well, in our state, it takes 86 hours. What are they being taught for 86 hours? I mean, I don't have 86 hours with you, but if I did, I could bring you up to speed. But here's my point. There's 86 hours of what you don't know. that takes to sell a house. And I say, you don't know what you don't know. So there's a whole other behind the scenes that most homeowners don't realize. But they'll try. They'll try and do it on their own. They spend the money, they spend the time, they spend the energy. And the reason why is because they want to try and put the same commission in their pocket that buyers who go to FSBOs. See, if you were going to buy something, let's say you want to buy a car. And I love the car analogy. And if you go on Craigslist to buy the car, why would you go to Craigslist to buy a car versus going to a dealership? Why would somebody want to do that?
They're trying to look for a deal.
Yeah, exactly. And the whole thinking of buying a car from a private owner is because they're trying to get a good deal. And here's the thing. There's a lot of questions about it. Is the car really tuned up? Am I going to have problems 6 months after? Bah, bah, bah. So there's a lot of risk in buying a car directly from a person who owns it. So what the buyer needs to do to justify the risk, to offset, there's a concept in investing and purchasing. It's called risk and reward. The higher the risk in making an investment in something, there better be a higher reward. You can't have high risk and low reward. That's just the loser's game. So a buyer trying to buy your house, there's risk, just like buying a car directly, that not buying it from a company without the support of a company behind it, the reward for them is getting a good deal. So you're going to attract deal hunters. These are the same people, and there's nothing wrong with it. These are the same people that would buy something at a yard sale versus going to a store. Why do they go to a yard sale? They want a good deal. Why do they buy a car privately? They want a good deal. Why would somebody buy a house directly from the homeowner? They want a good deal. And they know you trying to sell your own home, you're trying to save the same commission that they're trying to save. If I want to not pay a commission to an agent, I'm going to go directly to a homeowner. Well, I'm certainly not going to give that commission to the homeowner, so they're going to knock off 7% right off the top. So my point here is you ain't saving money. Did that help you, Wayne?
Yeah, that's a little more clear now, and that's more clear if I can understand it better now, because that's why I was trying to follow you the first time, but I didn't quite understand you, but I got it now.
All right, great. Well, listen, I appreciate your question.
Thanks for clearing it up, too.
Yeah, you're welcome, Wayne. Thank you, buddy. All right. So, Wayne, hit *6. That's going to put you back on mute. And somebody else got a question out there that you need some help with. Anybody?
Hello. Yes.
Yes, hello. Who is this?
Hi. This is Terry Lynn, and I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I would like to ask you, I basically, when I was 21, I was a realtor, but then I had a family and now I have a new beginning. But anyway, I've been real estate the last 2 years, and I don't have a lot of transactions. And so what do I say, because I had a for sale by owner ask me straight out, have you sold any homes? And I'm very honest, and I said, not at this point. But since then, I've already sold one home, and I'm fixing to sell a second, and I've listed two homes. And I've done a lot of open houses for agents. So how can I frame that where I feel good about myself, but I also can communicate?
That's a great question, Terry. So if you know that you're going to get that question, you want to try to avoid it and handle it before it comes up right away. So let me give you a few ways to do this. First of all, when you're touring the house, how I teach the listing appointment, the first thing you do is you ring the doorbell, give them a nice smile, then you bring them to the kitchen table, you drop your stuff down at the kitchen table. Now you're touring the house. While you're touring the house, you're building rapport. If that question comes up while you're touring, you say, listen, I've been in real estate cumulatively, I've been in real estate for so many years, and I'm going to tell you something, a lot of people don't realize this. Because, by the way, Terry, how long were you in real estate before you got a family?
About a year.
And now how long have you been in it?
2 years.
2 years? Okay. That's a total of 3 in my book, okay?
Okay.
So you've been in real estate. So if they ask you while you're touring, you want to answer it abruptly, vaguely. For example, they're going through the house, you're having fun with them, and they jump with that question, well, how long have you been in real estate? Well, let me tell you something. I've been in real estate for years, but let me tell you something that's real important that a lot of homeowners don't realize, is that when you become licensed in the great state of Oklahoma, it's not like corporate America. where you try and get hired by a company. You know, you go on job interviews and you hope the company hires you. It's not like that in real estate. See, in real estate, you get licensed first by the state. Once you get licensed by the state, the agent then decides what company they want to go work for. Now, I've been on a lot of interviews, and there have been a lot of companies that have actually come after me asking me to hire to work for them. But I actually chose this company, Power Realty, and the reason why is because they're so successful in helping homeowners get to where they're going. We have such a great program on helping homeowners just sell their house, we get them moved in. We're the whole package. But listen, I think we're rushing ahead of ourselves. Let's continue looking at the house. I want to see what you got because I'm very excited. Terry, do you see how I kind of answered the question and I moved on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. And I even heard a vibration there to highlight the yes. Okay. Okay. You were so excited. You were vibrating, Terry.
Exactly.
Okay, now, now, that's only part of it. Now, so now you go, after you finish touring the house, you go back to the kitchen table, and so now you're going to ask some questions. So let me ask you guys, so you're telling me you're wanting to sell the house because you want to get to where, and when do you need to get there by, and have you found a house yet? So the next part of the listing conversation is finding out what they're committed to accomplishing. So you're going to ask a lot of questions about where they moved to, why they're, when they need to get there by, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when you feel like you've asked enough questions, and you're ready to go with this, you now ask them, well, let me ask you something, Mr. Mitsana. If I can help you get moved to and accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, is that something you'd be interested in, if my company can help you with that? Well, let me share something with you about myself. Now, at this point, you jump right. They say yes, you jump right into validating yourself, Terry. Now, if you don't have a lot to validate yourself because you said you don't have a lot of sales.
Right.
Like I said to Walter, or was it Wayne, you want to focus on your strengths. So you want to talk about the fact that you, how many hours does it take to get licensed in the state of Oklahoma? How many hours?
90 hours.
I'll tell you right now, that homeowner does not know that. I guarantee you they don't know that.
Okay.
So I would have a certificate of my CE, and I'd say, first, let me just tell you, it takes, I'd white out the, I'd chop off the date or something. Like you don't want to highlight that you just got licensed, but or whatever, right? But you want to show them, and if not your license, you can show them a class from the board or something that says, you know, get licensed in real estate, 90-hour course. So any, I would show them, number one, is it takes 90 hours to even get in the game of real estate. That's number one. Number two is if you had a previous job, what was your job before real estate? And I know you said you were a mom, but...
I was a part owner with my former husband in a dental office for 20 years.
Oh, my. Okay. Listen, I would put that in my listing conversation. I'd say I was part owner. I'll tell you why. And you don't have to get into my ex-husband and what a dog he was.
No, he wasn't. He's okay.
I know. I was just making a joke. but anyway, Terry, I would show them and say, listen, I was part owner in a dental office, and let me tell you why that's real important, is because being a salesperson is hard, but being a business owner is even harder. And the real advantage that you have here, Mr. and Ms. Hanahana, is the fact that I already know what it takes to manage time, manage activities, manage results, P&L, profit and loss, cash flow. Like I have an understanding about how to run a real estate business, for my clients, because I look at your house as a business. We got a product. And just like when we had our dental office, we had the Invisalign. That was one of our products that we had to help people have beautiful teeth. Well, that product is only as good as it gets marketed and promoted and sold. So there's a aspect to running a business. I look at your house as a business that I need to sell and get out there. And I have that background, which most agents don't have that understanding of what I'm talking about. The other thing is, let me share with you about, I'm a realtor, and how that's different is because a realtor has a strict code of ethics that we, let me show you the code of ethics, and here's a copy of it, and it says right here that I have to look out for your interests before mine. As a matter of fact, most agents, they need to, not most, any realtor is supposed to have a copy of the code of ethics with them, so that way they can give it to a homeowner for test. It's actually part of our code. And I'm also licensed. I'm also part of the State Association of Ohio Realtors, and I'm also the member of the local board. But let me tell you, the other thing that I'm real excited and proud of is my company. And then I would go with my company's strengths. Now, Terry, do you see what I just did? I validated me in a huge way, and now I'm going to my company, and now I'm going to focus on my company and the strengths of my company and share that information. Do you see that?
I do. So what you basically said was, let me clarify that. You were saying, you know, just like selling your house, is like just like the business that I was running as a business owner in a dental practice. So that is just as important to me as selling the product, which now is your home, and so there I can take care of that. Is that what you
exactly.
just said to me? Okay.
Exactly. Very good. You did good with that, Terry. So
thank you.
You're welcome. You always want to find your strengths. Gang, everybody listening to the call, you all have strengths that makes you unique, and you want to focus on that. And that's kind of what I was saying at the beginning of the call. A lot of us, we focus, I don't know why we do this, but we focus on our weaknesses, you know, what we're not, you know, because we know what we're not happy about in our own business and in our lives. And sometimes we have a tendency to wear that on our sleeves, or it's hard for us to see the value that we have when we're distracted by us focusing on what we don't have. You know, so you want to look at, we all have our own uniqueness, our own strengths, and you want to focus and highlight those when you're speaking, especially on an appointment. So did that help you, Terry?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right, gang. So listen, we're going to come to the end of this call. We got 10 minutes. And there's a couple of things that I want to get to in the magazine and a couple other things that I've got here for you. Real quick, I have this, I was thinking about this, and that is having your own, some agents do this successfully where they have a dedicated website for their listings. So in other words, the listing would be, you know, 1010hanahana.com, right? So that would be the street address. And I was thinking that's a great listing technique, too, that if before you go on a listing point, let's say you made up a mock website just for that house. Now, of course, you can't do it with all the photos if you haven't gotten the photos inside, but you can certainly have photos taken on the outside. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people don't realize this. If you were to type in an address in Google will then give you the option to look at the street version of the home. In other words, Google has probably gotten an outside photo of every home in the United States by you just typing the address in. Plus, you can get an aerial view of it, too. So let's say you take that photo from the outside and the aerial, and you create this website. Now, let me tell you, there's a couple of companies out there that will actually do this for you as far as the website is concerned. This first one company that we actually use here in our company is called, not for real estate, but for our training business, called Lead Pages. Lead Pages, if you were to Google Lead Pages, it's very easy. This is very user-friendly to create a spontaneous website. You'll learn it in 20 minutes. That's one. There's another company called, where is it? Hang on a second. I wrote down the wrong website here. It's called, Lordy. It says website.com. That is so not it. Let me see if I can find it. Give me a second, real quick. Listing websites. I think it's. Give me a second here, gang. Oh, come on. It's called web. I'm going to do. I don't want to waste the time here. I can't find it. I think it's called Website Box. Well, I'm going to find it. I'm going to post it on the Power Program Power Agent website. That's what I'm going to do. So after this call, I'll find it, and I will put it there. Make sure you join that page. All right. So that's a couple things. You can create a dedicated listing page, go on a listing appointment, you show home, look what I did for you. They didn't even hire you yet, and you've already got this dedicated website for them. That's going to blow them away. So that's number one. Number two is, let me go through the magazine with y'all, and if you can't get access to the magazine, I don't know if we fixed that Does anybody know if we fixed that on the website yet? If you wanted to chat and tell me. But if it's not fixed yet, I'm going to actually, it will be before the day is over, okay? So make a note about that. Who's there? Somebody just unmuted. Bob, thanks, Bob. The website, hang on a second. I'm hearing static, and we're going to just fix that. Okay, good. All right. That's fixed. Thank you. So on page, let's see here, on page 22, there is a article that I posted. Now, this article goes back to 2004. It's from Money Magazine, Family Matters, Getting Through the Holiday Gift Hell. I thought it was a great article for you. I put it in the magazine this month for two reasons. Number one, for you, to help you. But the second thing is, this is good to bring on a listing appointment, too, or to even give buyers. If any family you're dealing with, seller or buyer, they have children, this is a great article to deal with holiday hell. So just a little gift you can give people. For buyer's agent, on page 24, there is this great little declaration. Here's what I'll do for you as a buyer's agent. I'm going to ask you to be list 18 items. And just to read a couple of them, number three, I'm going to ask you to be loyal to me and not work with other realtors. Number four, I'm going to locate and show available properties for you. I'm going to provide important information about the neighborhood. Anyways, great article. Commitment as a buyer's agent, what you're going to do for the buyers. Page 25 in this month's magazine, I love it. It actually helps distinguish between a seller's agent, a buyer's agent, and a transactional agent. I thought it was a great layout, great stuff in there. There's a buyer questionnaire, checklist for loan application. This over here, very powerful to tell your buyers ahead of time, listen, make sure that these are the things you get together because assuming we find you the right house and you want to move forward with it, this will help you and help save a lot of aggravation and time. There's so many checklists in here this month. Now, let me see here. I gave this a couple of things as redundant that I want to just point out because I wanted to give you a couple of versions of this. On page 30, did we just lose the call here? Hang on a second. It looks like, is the call still going? I hope it is. Okay. let me see here. It looks like I might have lost. No, I think we're still here. Okay. On page 30 and 31, we have different ways to put together a buyer agency agreement. Okay, thanks, Bob. Appreciate your comment. And also, what else did I give you? A few different versions. Oh, wait, there's some good in here. Hang on a second. Here's a few really awesome things. Page 35 is... do you know there are over 50 ways to buy a home? This is a great visual to show buyers that when it comes time when they finally find a house that they like, they can be overwhelmed with all the different loan programs, and you're going to help them through the process. So page 35 is to help deal with buyer remorse so the buyers don't get overwhelmed. Let them know that there's so many different programs out there, but help them through the process. Don't get freaked out about it. It's also Also, this page 35 is a great way. This is what I used to do on listing appointments. I used to show the homeowner that one of the reasons why selling yourself is not a good idea is because here's what happens. When a buyer likes a house, before they pull the trigger, can we afford it? They may start checking out mortgages at the time that they find the house. And then there's all these different programs that they can get when it comes to finances. They get overwhelmed, and when they get overwhelmed, they get distracted, and then they don't pull the trigger. So one of the reasons that working with a realtor is so valuable is that when we take a buyer, they like the house, we don't want them to get cold feet. So we help them decipher and go through the process so they're not overwhelmed. When you're a FSBO, you don't have any control over what happens after they saw your house and left. That's the value of the realtor. After they see the house, they're still working with the buyer and talking to them. Kay, the magazine is when you get to the power program for everybody that's confused, The magazine is on the Power Program website, thepowerprogram.com, but you cannot see the magazine unless you're signed in. You have to sign in to the website first, all right? If you can't find your username and password, contact my office in a couple of minutes when we're done with the call. All right, now, there's a couple of other things I gave you here, and then we're going to finish the call. Page 36, 37 in the magazine, 39 and 40, there's different versions of questions that a homeowner could ask when they're interviewing other agents. This is a powerful technique to blow out your competition. Let's say you go on a listing appointment and you can't get them to hire you. You might say, well, listen, I think you should interview some other agents. You should not do this on your own. I put together a questionnaire for you that if you do bring other agents in, ask them these questions and make sure they answer positively. Now, what happens is the answers to questions you will answer positively, you personally, but it helps blow the other agents out of the water. So, go through that. And the last thing in the magazine, and then I'm going to say goodbye and give you guys a little last-minute tip. On page 38 in this month's magazine, there's a sample of a letter that a homeowner who sold their home through you, they give it to you at the closing table, and then you take the letter and you mail it out to all of their neighbors. And this letter basically says, you know, dear neighbor, we want to take a few minutes to tell you about the sale of our home. We hired Connie over at such and such company. She did a wonderful job. She was incredible, blah, blah, blah. So it's a testimonial letter that's actually written to the neighbors, dear neighbor, and then it validates you. You get this letter from your happy customer. You mail it out to the farm area. Very powerful. All right. Here's the last thing I'm going to say to you guys. It's 12 o'clock, but we're going to wrap up the call with me saying this. That, first of all, we got the holidays in December. This is the best time. We talked a lot about listings, but what you should focus on a little bit more this month is buyers. Reason why any buyer that comes out during the holidays, if you're in the north during the cold, they've got to be serious. So this opportunity for you to pop some sales in December. This is the one month I tell people, focus more. Focus more on the working with buyers in the month of December, showing property and making the sale. So that's number one. Number two, also work on your business in December. You know, you can't. I know there's probably a million things you want to do for your business. You can get overwhelmed. And here's what I'm going to say. In the month of December into the new year, just pick three things that you've been procrastinating, that you've been wanting to do, that you know would help your business, and do those three things. And it should be to build inventory. You should definitely have those things. You should have Red X. You should be a subscription to that. That's one of the things, get your files in order, okay? The last thing is I just want to wish you guys a happy holidays, all right? And so make sure that you spend the time and you have a good time. Don't be stressed about the holidays. The purpose of holidays is family, relationship, appreciating what you have. Don't have the shopping and getting the house ready and all that stuff rob your joy of what holidays about. All right. Thanks for calling in, and I look forward to talking to you guys on the next call. It's the date from the website. And by the way, any Long Island people, make sure you check out listingworkshop.com for my Long Island tri-state area, listingworkshop.com. The rest of you check my website. If I'm going to be coming to your area, kickoffseminar.com. Okay, all right? And friend me on Facebook, Daryl Speaks. All right, gang, thanks a lot. Have a wonderful day, and don't forget to keep smiling. All right, bye-bye.